What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to the Bad Podcast. Brad and Wayne in here. Another episode. I know you guys missed us. We're back in the building. Brad, man, what are we talking about today?
Let's talk about consistency over intensity. A lot can be packed up into this message. So tune in, baby. It's going to be a good one.
Let's get it.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
What it look like, what it be like, what it do back in here. Another episode of the Bad Podcast, Brad and Dwayne. And Brad, man, I ain't even gonna lie, bro. A couple weeks ago, I didn't know if I'll be in this space right. Yeah, man. I didn't know if I was gonna make it home a couple of Sundays ago, brother. I ain't even gonna lie.
Yeah, and you know, I saw the scare myself, and obviously Adrian had heard far before I had, but you know, that's kind of what I want to talk about, man. I want to talk about what happened, and you know, just these things are those emergency phone calls that we get, those emergencies that, you know, kind of wake us up a little bit. They're the wake up call.
Absolutely.
You know, and so many of us experience that wake up call, and hopefully, you know, it's not one of those like too late wake up calls. And for you, it's not. But you gotta take some intentional steps of recovery here. But let's talk about what happened and share the story.
I got you, man. I got you. Many people have been waiting for this this story, man. So Super Bowl Sunday, after my prediction was completely off in the other direction. I should have the number was about right for the other direction.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
it was a blowout the other way. But so here's the thing. I didn't care about no football at the time. I woke up Sunday. My stomach was hurting. I thought it was just constipation, you know, going through prep. I go through that a lot. You know, I was kind of miserable all day. And then, you know, my wife kind of got concerned because it just kept lingering. And so we, you know, got some stuff to try to get some stuff moving along. And we got some stuff moving along, but no relief. Like my stomach was still hurting. Still real bloated, and so once I had a couple moves and nothing changed, I was like, you know what, let's go to the doctor. My mom was trying to get me to go to the doctor at like 1 p.m. like she was like, go now. we ended up waiting, and we didn't get there till probably about 7 or 8. We went to the emergency room, and once in the emergency room, you know, still uncomfortable, they had me in the back, ran a test. They did a ultrasound, didn't see anything there. And about 11:35, something reached up into my belly and just said, out of nowhere, man, excruciating pain. I was sweating. I couldn't stay still. I was hollering. I was cussing. Like it was bad. And, you know, my wife is panicking. She's trying to keep me calm. I can't lay down. It's uncomfortable. Stand up is uncomfortable. And you know, in Fayetteville at emergency room, you know, they see all kind of stuff. So they were just walking around like, do, 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 do. I'm in there yelling. And so finally the nurse came, and she hit me with some morphine. And she was like, this should calm me down in about 6 seconds. Nothing. And my wife was like, did you say 6 seconds or 60 minutes? Like, what? I'm still hollering. So then they gave me some more meds, and I finally calmed down enough to do a CT scan. When they did the CT scan, they found out that my appendix was on the verge of rupturing. It, you know, was getting ready to rupture. And so they scheduled me for surgery that morning. That morning, the surgeon did his thing, got it out of there. He came in, and I didn't hear this part, but he told my wife, he was like, it was real nasty, and I was like, it had already started to ooze out. I had holes oozing out, and so I had a lot of like pus and like toxins in my belly. So I had to do a lot of cleanup, a lot of suction and all of that. And yeah, so I had an emergency appendectomy is what they called it. And it took, I had to stay in the hospital for a week just because of the amount of poison and toxins in my belly. It had to run antibiotics through my system in order to get all that out. So spent a whole week in the hospital, a lot of pain. But this is the part when I was like, I want to talk about this. Uh-huh. So, you know, it's one thing to, you know, you take pain medicine, you know, you're trying to take the edge off to relax. But in my case, especially when it came to like Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday, the pain medicine, I mean, I wanted to take the edge off, but it was actually hindering my progress because it takes longer for your organs to wake up the more you take pain meds. And so I had to make a decision, Brad. Do I stay comfortable and taking these pain meds, or do I grit it out to get better, bro? And I was like, yo, somebody need to hear that, man, because yeah. I could have took the easy route. I'm like, keep giving me them oxys, you know what I mean? Keep them on schedule. But what I did, man, I was like, I don't want to stay here much longer. And so I turned down the meds. And I'm not saying you don't need to take meds. Please don't take it the wrong way. But I felt like I needed to get healed up. In order to do that, I had to grind through that pain, that discomfort, that, you know what I mean? I had to hug that pillow.
Yeah.
And go through that so that I could recover, man. And because taking that pain med actually made the recovery slower. And a lot of times we take that thing to take the ease off. We get that short comfort. But bro, that when I went through that, I was like, Brad, I got something. <built." laughs>
You know, that's really important, man. And you know, first and foremost, painkillers are a very slippery slope. Just so happens to be within this week, I had a dear friend of mine pass away. Mm. Boy, it's been many years now, but you know, he was addicted to painkillers, and it is a very slippery slope, and you gain that comfort from those painkillers. And it's just like with what we talk about all the time, you know, everything's a slippery slope. If you start drinking alcohol, and you know, you have a couple beers here, and then tomorrow you have a couple beers, and then it's another couple beers, and then it's just a slippery slope, and we gain trust in that comfort. And that becomes the norm, right? And then one day you just have to have a wake-up call. You got to hug the pillow. You got to go through that pain. You got to go through that discomfort and say, you know what? I got to wean off on this, even just so slightly. Like, did you go cold turkey?
I went cold turkey, man. Wow. I went cold turkey with the oxy. I kept the Tylenol going, but I went cold turkey with the oxy, man. And the nurse was like, you sure? You sure? I was like, yeah, like, I got to get past this. Because at this point, the discomfort wasn't the incisions. The discomfort was like gas and bile, you know, just my stomach waking up, which is part of the process. But I was like, you know, in the time, I was like, let me sleep. Like, I'll worry about gas and bile. Yeah. Like, give me something so I can sleep throughout the night. But then, you know, like I said, eventually, whenever I kind of had a realization, I was like, yo, like, the longer you do this, the longer it's going to take. You're going to have to go through this discomfort in order to progress, man. And yeah, whenever I stopped, I think I stopped on Wednesday. So I hadn't touched it since.
That's awesome.
Had pain, but you know, it was all a part of the process, man.
Yeah. And just like what we talk about, you know, we hold tight on to those things that give us comfort. And, you know, sometimes you do just have to go cold turkey. Sometimes you do have to just go all in, you know, dive in head first. You know, if you are struggling with fitness, like just cut ties with old habits. And I know from this side of the screen, it's easy for me to say. It's ingrained in you and I because it's our profession. And for the common folk, like, it might not be that simple. A couple of steps. One, you know, get the support system around you. You had your wife. Hey, this is your decision. I got your back. You know, you have to have that support system. And then two, you just got to start establishing new behaviors, new habits and routines, and that's going to get you projected in that right direction. Now, I want to take a step back here.
Yeah.
What? Because this might be important for somebody to hear. You know, we fight through that pain and never realize that something, you know, deep inside of us is occurring. What brings this on, or what caused this in you? I mean, you're training for you know, physique, and you're on a very specific diet. You know, what causes something like this?
So appendix failure is usually common in children. It's not really like a certain thing or cause, or there's nothing I couldn't have, you know, should have not eaten or anything like that. It's just one of those things, man. In my situation, apparently, like some, I guess the better term is fecal matter, kind of got clogged, And that's what caused, you know, it to stop operating correctly. And, you know, nothing on my side that I could have did to prevent it. It's just one of those things, man, because, you know, that was part of the frustration, too. You know, like, I work out, I eat good, you know, I'm strict. Like, why am I in here?
right.
You know, and yeah. Even I had the nurses laughing, you know, because I was after the surgery, like, I was bloated for so long in my belly. I was like, bro, I worked out too hard not to have my abs going right now, man. You know, like what's going on? But no. Yeah. So appendix. Yeah. Apparently you can live without it. And there's nothing that, you know, nothing that I'm aware of that would cause it to falter or fail. It's just one of those things, man. I like I said, it's weird because you can't prepare for it. You know, it's like, I wish I could say, hey, if you eat more broccoli, it'll protect your appendix, you know. But yeah, no, there's nothing, no lead up, no nothing, man. You know, again, because of prep and just those extremes, I have like stomach issues. Like I, you know, cramp up, you know, yeah. I get, you know, constipated or runny or whatever. Like it's never like, you know, smooth move, you know, with me. And so leading up, you know, I just thought it was just another one of those aspects. But yeah, it's something different, bro.
Well, let's jump on the other side of the tracks here. You're in recovery, and it's been and it's going to be a slow and steady process. And, you know, both you and I, we both have put our bodies through some turmoil, a lot of resistance, you know, and really been harsh to ourselves. And I want to talk about the consistency that you are creating now slowly, because you can't go and lift heavy now. You can't go and get back to what you were doing 3 weeks ago. So let's talk about your recovery and how consistency beats intensity.
Absolutely. So, I mean, first off, you know, it's so funny. People's like, man, especially to my wife, he can't work out. I know he's sick. I know he can't do this, all the stuff he do. I'm like, oh, I'm actually cool, man. I like sleeping in right now.
It was good, I bet.
it's not that bad, you know? Yeah. And then I lost about 20 pounds in the hospital, you know, because for 2 days I didn't eat anything. So I lost about 20 pounds. And so, like, right now I'm like just eating without tracking. I was like, man, this is kind of fun. Like, let's start there. Like, I'm okay mentally, y'all. You know, there is a level of frustration as far as like wishing I could jump back in, but I'm not to a point where I'm like, you know, like, not depressed or anything because I can't. And what I did is, I went to chat, man. I went to chat and I was like, hey, this is my situation. I want to recover properly, you know, help me just figure this out mindset wise. And so that's where all the posts that you see come from, is like just understanding, you know, what can I do? What can I control? That was my first post. What can I control? I can control, you know, what I drink, what I eat, and whatever movement that I'm physically able to do, because I can't lift heavy for at least another 6 weeks. I can't, in 2 weeks, when this drops, the following week I go back to the doctor, so I may be able to do like some premium workouts or something like that. But what I can do is I can still eat on plan, I can walk, I can get my water, and so it's building that consistency in this time, man, is what makes the difference. You know, whenever you're going hard in the gym and you making my videos and my music and I'm pumped up, you know, all of those things are motivators. But when that aspect is no longer available, you have to find something else. You have to find something else to motivate you, something else to cling on to, man. And so just for me, you know, because I've gotten a lot of messages like, man, you're down, but you're still encouraging other people. You're still, you know, trying to. And I was like, man, I love that. Like, no matter what situation I'm in, I would always like to inspire somebody, because I've never been on this side. And so there are thousands of people that's been on this side, been in recovery. People said, like, I'm so glad you're posting this, or I wish I would have seen this whenever I was down. Because you can still control what you can control. You still can show up. You still can motivate. You still can inspire. And building that. And I have to say, Brad, the habits I built before this is 100% the contributor to why I'm able to be where I'm at right now mentally, and just, you know, being able to continue to, you know, just push and you know, help other people, man.
Yeah. Well, this is one of those prime examples, and you're in the crossroads of, you know, hey, you got to make some decisions here, and you have already built that foundation, you know, with your discipline and all those things, and now you're slowly, you know, going through it. It's one of those wild things where, from the outsider's perspective, you don't really know what somebody's going through. You know, it's similar to my bike ride right now. I've done a lot of reflecting, in a different way than you are right now. You know, and you gain an appreciation for what your body can do for you and what you can do, like, with what you can control. And I have been doing a lot of reflecting with my bike ride. And on the other side of this, I'm going to take a step back, because I have been so intense with my body, similar to you. And, you know, it's not all about pushing the limits every single day. Am I all about pushing limits? Absolutely. But, you know, you can find different ways to push your limits. Start reading books, or start listening to podcasts, or start writing books, or, you know, there's so many ways that you can push your limits. And right now you're pushing different limits. Like, you are not lifting weights. Like, for you to keep yourself mentally tough, and, you know, keep that mindset of inspiring others, like, that's pushing limits. Like, that's really tough. Not doing the actions that you have been used to for the last 5 years, and still motivating, still empowering, still encouraging others. Like, that's huge. And what's the alternative to being positive? Like, being a negative Nancy? Like, is that really how we want to go through life? And I think that's the easy way out sometimes. And that's what a lot of folks are, you know, in pursuit of, is the easy way out. And I encourage everybody to, you know, face their own discomforts and face their own trials and tribulations, and, you know, remain positive no matter where you're at in life. Because Dwayne's a prime example right here, where he's going through it. He's going through it mentally. He's going through it physically. He's not able to do the things that he is used to doing. And here he is still out there inspiring the world, you know, through his words and through his posts. So, prime example, Dwayne, and I'm proud of you for this comeback. And
yes, sir.
What's next for Dwayne? What's next on the schedule?
Oh man, look, if you'd asked me that Monday, it'd be like eating something without my stomach hurting. Like, it's small things, bro. Things you take for granted, you know. Yeah. And for me, you know, right now it's just recovery. You know, I'm not rushing it. I'm not, you know, whenever I talk to the doctor on that Monday, I think it's the 10th, you know, I'm not rushing it, bro. Like, and that even same thing when I was in hospital, I was like, yo, I'm not rushing getting out of here. I want to make sure that everything is right. Yeah. And once I'm released, you know, I envision just kind of taking everybody on that journey. You know, yeah. One of my favorite kind of content, it was like, if I had to start over, you know, this is what I would do. And so that's going to be my open montage. Okay. If I had to start over, you know what? I am starting over.
Yeah.
Come with me on this journey, man. Yeah. And just show people that even from ground zero, because, you know, 8 weeks without lifting and going back, we're back at ground zero, man. I mean, there's some, you know, there's some muscle loss going on, you know, there's fatigue, all those things. And so next for me is, man, is just taking people along on the journey. People watching this podcast, this is the first time they've seen me in probably about 2 weeks. I hadn't posted any selfies. Yeah, I had the last video, whatever. I was actually in the hospital. I hadn't posted anything visually of me in the last, you know, last 2 weeks. And so once I'm ready for that, you know, I say, you know, come along with the journey. Come along for the journey, because we're going to take our time. We're going to build it up. We're going to build it up better. You know, we're going to really, really focus on recovery, really focus on, you know, balance, and try to show people that, you know, cause that's the thing, Brad, a lot of people see our now, they don't know where we come from.
Right.
And so you're going to see, I mean, I'm not going to be 250 pounds, but you know, it's going to be day one in the gym. And so, you know, you're going to see day one in the gym and working my way back up.
Yeah, I love that, Dwayne. And obviously, you know, I haven't been doing a whole lot of weight training. I've been on the bike for 6, 7, 8 hours a day doing that and that only. I'm not working on my core. I'm not working on any strength. And it's always a frustrating thing for me because I like strength training. I like, you know, dropping the weights. I like doing that kind of thing. And I'm doing cardio and cardio only. And there's a lot of folks out there that do cardio and cardio only because back in the 90s, like that was the thing, like, hey, do cardio and you lose weight. Like, yeah, you will lose weight to an extent, but that strength training component is like massive. So, you know, frustration is like definitely at the forefront for me. But one of the things that you had said, and it just sparked, and I had mentioned this in one of my recent, one of my workouts, but some people don't do my workouts because they don't have a treadmill or don't have a spin bike. So real quick, you know, you said something about, you know, taking life for granted. So as a lot of the folks know, we were in Florida this past week, a couple weeks ago now. And so the first day we are at the hot tub, my two boys are in the hot tub. Beckett is 5 years old. He's tall enough to be in the hot tub, but little Rushy, he's just a little guy. He's not tall enough to stand, but he was in that hot tub with no life jacket on. And my dad and my grandfather and I, we were all talking and we were just chopping it up. And you know, they say the silent death is drowning. And, you know, things got quiet and all of a sudden Beckett said, "Dad," and I looked over and he was holding Rushy up, out of the deep end of the water. And he had been bobbing. And, you know, so I rushed over there obviously, and, you know, we got it all taken care of. But it's those heightened moments in our lives that we're like hyper aware of our surroundings and the things that we have going on in our lives. And sometimes it takes that emergency, right? And so like the rest of the week I was on high alert. Like there was no way I was letting my Rushy, you know, out of my sight. So fast forward to the second to last day, Dwayne, he was fighting me all morning. "I don't want to wear my life jacket. I don't want to wear my life jacket." I said, "All right, well, we'll get in the hot tub, but I'm going to be right there." And you know, it's one of those things, man, where we start to gain comfort again, right? And we stop being so intentional with paying attention to the things that are important to us: fitness, health, kids, whatever, finances, right? And so I'm literally 10 inches away from my Beckett, or excuse me, my Rushy. And Rushy said, "Hey, take the hot water and pour it over to the pool," because that's what we've been doing all week. We just get in the hot water over to the pool, you know, heat up the pool and all that. And I'm swiping the water. He's right behind me, goes quiet. And I'm swiping. I look back and he's bobbing again, man. And like the look that he gave me, like, "You just let me down," right? And it was an emotional time, and just it was scary, right? But it sometimes takes those scary moments to wake us up. But I don't think it should, you know, take those moments. You know, we take life for granted. We take our fitness for granted. We take our health. We take our kids. We take our finances. We take our homes and our vehicles for granted. Like, folks, you got a roof over your head. Golly, be grateful for that. If your kids are healthy, be grateful for that. If you have air in your lungs, be grateful for that. There are people, millions, if not billions of people, that don't have it like we do. And sure. I'm, you know, in the world that we live in, man, there are so many people just focused on so much negativity and toxic energy. And man, just be thankful, you know, for the life that we have. And, you know, if you have healthy kids, you have a healthy spouse, you have, you know, a couple bucks in your bank account, man, be grateful, because this life is short, and it shouldn't take an emergency phone call or emergency to get you really aware of what you have and how grateful we all should be.
Absolutely, brother. Like, that's spot on. You know, you just, it's so like easy to think, you know, it's tomorrow, Saturday, it's sure, another day, you know, tomorrow, the next day, you know, I'm thinking Sunday morning, oh yeah, you know, this is my week to go to Charlotte, you know, like it's so easy. Just kind of take yourself out and think that everything is just going to be everything, man. But you just never know what's to come, what's to happen. So that's why you got to be grateful in all of those moments. You got to be grateful. You got to be thankful. You know, and appreciate them, man, because we, you know, I saw a reel. I know we're getting ready to wrap it up, but I saw this reel and it said, "You ever, you know, how we feel like time flies, you know, it's like the older you get, the faster time, you know, seem like it flies." So we explained it. And so when you're a kid, you know, they call these like, I guess, flagship, or, you know, there's certain times and moment where you just remember so many things as a kid. Like it just, this happened. So it feel like time is forever because you have all these mental flagpoles. As an adult, you don't lay that flagpole down as often. And so you might have a flagpole 6 months ago and then a flagpole today. And then when you think back, it's like, man, that was last week. No, that was 6 months ago, because the flagpole is way over there, because we don't appreciate the now and we don't appreciate the small things. And so that's why time feel like it flies, because we're just going throughout whatever. As a kid, you was excited about everything.
Yes.
You know, ice cream on Friday, you know, going to the park on Saturday, you know, everything was an event. But as an adult, we get to the place where we don't celebrate or think these small things are significant. And that's why it feels like time flies, because the last significant thing was a couple months ago. And so you like, man, that was yesterday. Like, no, it was 6 months ago. So that's something when I heard that and read that, I was like, you know what? And it was right when I was laying in the hospital. I was like, bro, like I'm going to have to take more time to appreciate where I am. And we say it all the time, be where your feet are. We say it, but do we really mean it? Like,
right.
And so it's a difference between just saying it and just like, you know, really standing on that and really appreciating, you know, where we are and you know, what we've been through.
Yeah. All seasons of life will pass, man. If you're on top, that season will pass. If you're in the deepest valley, that season will pass. Now, I want to read something that my wife posted on Instagram, and it relates to this perfectly. Like, as soon as you started talking, I was like, I got to pull this post up. So imagine you're 85, body slower, energy thinner. You get one wish to come back and do it all over again. You open your eyes, you're here, this age, strong, adventurous, capable, with people you love still within reach. You have one do-over, and you're sitting in it. Live like it's your second time around.
Mm. Yes, sir. That's the man.
That man, goosebumps, man. The feels going on. Yeah, live like it's your second chance, guys. Live like you get a do-over today. Appreciate all the small things. Appreciate life. Appreciate what you have.
Boom. That's the ending right there. Till next time, y'all. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all. Thank you for all the kind words, all the messages. We appreciate y'all. We out of here.